In the song that we just sang, in the first verse, or maybe it was the second verse, don't hold me on that, but anyway, in one of the verses, it talked about the fact that we are living in a troubled world, and Satan's snares we must evade. The devil is our adversary. We learn this, that the word Satan, for instance, it actually means the adversary. And he is against us. And he's going to try to trip us up. In fact, he has his schemes that we have to evade. Another way of looking at it is, he has designs on us. In our study of the book of Job, we learned that there was a time when Satan approached God. He was not approaching God for any good reason. Everything Satan does is evil. He's evil through and through. And God asked Satan, what are you doing? What have you been doing? He said, well, I've been roaming the earth. Here and there. Well, what was he doing roaming the earth? He was trying to trap people. He was trying to snare people. He had designs on people. We're going to look at the devil's designs, the schemes that he will try to trap us with in this lesson. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Most of this is going to be scriptures, and I'm going to have them on the projection so we don't spend the whole time going from one passage to another. But the scriptures have a lot to say about the designs of Satan, of our adversary. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9, Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that at the same time sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He walks around like a lion, a roaring lion. He gives us this word picture there of a lion that wants to devour his prey. That's what Satan's design is. To use us as prey. He has many devices, many schemes. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 11, we're told by the Apostle Paul to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. And the Apostle Paul also described his devices in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 11. He gives some warning, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We have no reason to be ignorant of his devices, because we are adequately warned. I want us to look at some of these devices, specific devices that Satan uses to try to trap us and ensnare us. The first one is that the devil tries to discredit. First of all, he tries to discredit God, suggesting that God lied in the very beginning. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4, when the serpent speaking to woman, he said to Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." God had told the woman and the man that the day that they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. God had warned them about that. And so they weren't even supposed to touch that tree. And Eve obviously knew what God had told her because she quoted him back to Satan. And Satan said, "You will not surely die." So in essence, he is accusing God of lying. He went on to say, well, God just doesn't want you to be knowledgeable like he is. He just wants you to stay in ignorance. And so he is trying to discredit God. He's impugning God's motives, implying that God did not, he says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He tries to discredit God by calling God's son a gluttonous man and a winebibber. And you might say, well, Satan didn't say that, but Satan put somebody up to doing that. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse 19, they say, "Look, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And yes, God, or Satan, does often use people to do his bidding and to discredit God. We have people today who try to discredit God. And they say, well, if God loved mankind, he wouldn't allow this or that to happen. He wouldn't allow tragedy to happen in this world. They're just trying to discredit God, and Satan is behind their accusations. Referred earlier to Job, you know, not only does Satan discredit God, but he tries to discredit God's people. In Job, the 2nd chapter in verse 5, when Satan is talking to God, to the Father, he says, "Stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely cause you to curse you to your face." This was, of course, the second time that Job was trying to destroy, get God to destroy Job. He was discrediting Job in the sense that he's saying, he only is faithful to you because you've been so good to him. In a way, it's a discredit of God and of Job, that God was being unfair. But Job wasn't the only one that Satan used this tactic on. He sometimes tried to discredit God's faithful workers. Going into the New Testament, in Acts the 16th chapter and verse 20, Satan tries to discredit God's people again, using evil men to do it. And the accusation against Paul is, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. What were they doing? They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching good news. They were telling people how they could be saved. And these people saying they're troubling our city. False accusation. In Acts the 17th chapter, verses 6 and 7, we have the accusation against God's people were, "These have turned the world upside down and have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." So, they're maligning the character of Paul and of a brother named Jason on this occasion, because they were teaching that Jesus was king. It was doing no harm to them. But they say it troubled the world and turning the world upside down. If only the people of this world would talk about us that way. In Acts the 17th chapter, a little bit later in that chapter, in verse 18 of that chapter, when Paul was on trial, you might say, before the people, they say, "What does this babbler want to say?" They considered his preaching of the gospel babbling. They're trying to discredit God's people. In Acts the 18th chapter, in verse 13, I back up a few verses. "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." It's a false accusation. That's one of the things that will sometimes be used by Satan to discredit God's people, God's faithful. John, the Apostle John, wrote about a man named Diotrephes. In 3 John, the 9th chapter, or 9th verse, 9th and 10th verses, he says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." And so here we have somebody that's actually in the church that Satan is using to try to discredit God's people. And he actually was putting people out of the church. That's one of his devices, using Christians. Many times, God's people are maligned from within and without. It's Satan's plan. But also, Satan tries to discredit God's word. Am I behind that far? Wow. Sorry about that. Okay, yeah. Satan tries to discredit God's word. We go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 18, where Paul writes, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We have people today that malign the word of God. Satan is using them to malign the word of God, saying, "Oh, it's been written by men." Well, it was penned by men, but it was inspired by God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so it is reliable. And yet people try to malign it. Satan is behind it. Some people claim that it's outdated, that maybe it was right at one time, but we live in a modern world. That's a way of trying to discredit the Bible. Sometimes they'll say it's irrelevant to modern society. And, of course, there are those who are always trying to find it contradictory, finding it contradicting itself. These are some of the devil's designs. But the devil also tries to distract by corrupting our minds, corrupting people's minds. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 3. Paul writes, "But I fear that lest somehow the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." With thorns or riches, cares and pleasures, Satan tries to choke good out of our lives. In Luke, the 8th chapter and verse 14, in that particular place, he's explaining the parable of the soils at that time. And he said on that occasion, "And the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." And so Satan uses the things that we care about to try to distract us from our service to God, our faithfulness to the Lord. He tries to distract us with things that are here on this earth. In Colossians 3 and verse 2, we are told to set your mind on things above and not on things in the earth. On the earth. And also 1 John 2 and verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world," John writes this, "do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We've been adequately warned about Satan's design to distract us. He sometimes does this by promoting religion without righteousness. Religion that is aimed at pleasing men rather than pleasing God. Religion that is not from the heart, but only is surface religion. But also, one of the designs of Satan is that he tries to divide. Satan divides. First Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those who of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." So Paul, in the case of the Corinthians, had heard by way of some brethren that there were contentions among them. How did they get those contentions? They allowed Satan to enter in to divide them. And we mentioned earlier Diotrephes. And we look at this once again in 3 John 9 and 10, where he wrote to the church, "But Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence," that was what Satan put in his mind, to be preeminent among the brethren. And so he would cast people out of the church. He divides also by false teachers. In Acts the 20th chapter and verse 30, we read, "And also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." We've got to watch out for false teachers. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to Phobos. Today, Satan is trying to divide Christians by way of false doctrines and internal strife. He appeals to pride. He appeals to envy. He appeals to jealousy. And he appeals to backbiting. Satan will tell us what we want to hear from the very beginning. He did that. Satan told Eve what she wanted to hear. And he'll do it to us also. That's one of his designs. But Satan also uses discouragement by personal weaknesses, giving Christians a what's the use, an attitude of what's the use in trying. We need to turn our weaknesses over to the Lord. We need to remember our commitments. By weakness, he sometimes will try to discourage us by weaknesses of fellow Christians. Often, the weaknesses of fellow Christians are more noticeable to us than our own. Isn't that interesting? We need to help one another with these problems. He also uses discouragement by a lack of results in evangelism. We are to plant. We are to water. We need to remember that it's the Lord who gives the increase. And when we go through long periods of time where we're not successful in evangelizing, we will get discouraged, but we should not let that discouragement be used by Satan to bring us down. In Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Finally, the devil uses delay tactics. In Acts, the 24th chapter, in verse 25, Paul is speaking before a dignitary. And it says that as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." How many people have put off obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's not a convenient time? If you're looking for a convenient time to obey the Lord, you probably will never find it. It's never convenient to obey the Lord. Satan's going to try to put something in our way. You can just depend upon it. Procrastination is one of Satan's most used devices. Well, I say finally, but there is something we need to recognize, and there is a divine plan of resistance against all of the devil's designs. And it is resistance to him. In James, the 4th chapter, in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Make Satan leave. Make him flee. And James here, the brother of our Lord, as he wrote, makes it clear that submitting to God and resisting the devil will make him run. He'll be back, but he will run. We may have to do it over and over again. Resist by being sober and watchful. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not alone in this. Others are resisting also. We need to resist together. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 27, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." I like to stress that last part, nor give place to the devil. Resist him. He's out to get you. But God is willing to save you. Of course, if you're not a child of God, you don't have the assurance that God will be on your side. He's calling for resistance. Resistance against Satan and not against his word. If there are those in this assembly that need to respond to the gospel call, if you need to rid yourself of the sins that are in your life, the only way to do it is through Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that with all your heart. Repent of your sins. That is to change your mind. Decide to follow Jesus. Confess that faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And let us baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you can rise to walk in newness of life, fighting the devil the rest of your life, but fighting together with Jesus and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We invite you to come while together we stand, while we sing.